Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ty said himself, "You don't lift weights."
He did say that.
I lift weights. I'm gonna show you why you need to lift weights.
We are back with another episode of Not Even D2. I'm your host KJ Allison, here with my co-host Naruto Perdomo. Oh, you got the merch on? That's hard. But we got a great episode for everyone today. But first, let's talk some EA basketball's playoffs right now. I know y'all got a game. Y'all just played by the time this is dropped, but as we're recording, y'all play tomorrow. So talk to me about your mindset. You know, a big game against, bro, it's low-key getting like a rivalry, Utica-Naz, that people don't really be talking about, but just talk to me.
Yeah, man. I mean, every time we play Naz, it's always a battle. That's why, you know, anytime we talk about them, I got a lot of respect for anyone in that program, honestly, just because I've seen so many crazy games, crazy battles, crazy moments. So, yeah, definitely a big game tomorrow, bro. You know, we've gone over the game plan, gone over the film, and now it's just time to execute, bro. I don't want to say any predictions or anything like that. Just leave it up to, you know, just leave it up to however it goes, bro, and just going with the open mind. But, yeah, so definitely locked in on the game plan, bro. Excited. It's going to be a fun game. Going to have fans there. Exciting time to be a Pioneer, bro. So
good luck, my boy.
Yo, real quick, bro. Real quick.
All right.
So I know you have another year of eligibility, and I didn't even tell you I was going to do this. And maybe you don't have a real answer for me, so we could cut it out if not. But, you know, you have another year of eligibility, bro, and you just finished up a four-year career at Alfred. And no matter what, that's a big thing, bro. Finishing college, you know what I mean? Finishing basketball at a school. Staying there for 4 years, too, especially in the year of transfer portal. And, you know, in a sense, you finished college basketball. Like I said, you have another year of eligibility, but I want you to just talk about real quick the people that helped you get to this point. If you have anyone to like shout out and just some memories that you have from playing college basketball, bro.
Nah, yeah, that's actually a good question. To start, people that got me here, definitely the fam, bro. Like that's always going to be my first answer. My mom, my dad, my little brother, those the core right there. I could talk so much about the impact they had on me, how they got me to this spot, whether it's me and my dad waking up 7 a.m. every Saturday, going to the Y, my mom supporting me at every single game. People that be at the games know how hard she goes for me. And then my little bro always getting that work in ones. Like there's a lot of people, but also just the group I came in with, like mad love to them, bro. Jackson White, AJG, Aquinto, we had two others, but they transferred. But those my brothers, bro. It was a tough way to go out with them, bro. Definitely a lot of emotions spent with them, time spent with them. But the emotions, you know, after Saturday's game was crazy, bro. I could go on a lot more, but I want to kind of shift to the favorite memories. To start, two-time Empire A Player of the Week. That was tough. And then I was playing on a torn meniscus my sophomore year. Hit a game winner against Brockport. And then just like some standout games from my teammates, Amoy, Fran. Fran had like a 15-15 game. Amoy 30 this year. Like those my brothers. Mike Schmidt was always going crazy. So I could keep going, but I'm fake bugging right now.
I know you want to get to the episode, bro, but I wanted you to have that moment, bro, real quick.
No, I appreciate that for sure. Damn, you're making me think of the Poly game, bro. Just to give the viewers a little context, we was down one with 0.3 seconds left, and I seen the weirdest free throw miss of my life, bro. My son Z was at the line when I'm going to put the clip on. If you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see how crazy this free throw is. But we had a lot of faith going into playoffs, you know, Empire. Oh, yeah. Started, but we definitely had some hopes for our team that year. It was sad for it to end, but I've been ranting for a little bit. I don't know if you want to give any of your talk or you want to wait till y'all finish your season.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till the year is over. I mean, maybe we could have a longer conversation about, you know, people that we want to shout out and stuff, and you know, it won't be just, you know, I'm randomly bringing it up, but definitely got a lot of people I want to shout out though. But we'll talk more for sure. We'll talk.
All right, bet. But on today's episode, we got Octavio Brito. Octavio, really a dog, bro. Like, he's a killer. The other day with Hampton, I said on air that Hank is the best Division III player. I forgot all about Octavio, bro. I'm not going to lie. Like,
Prisoner of the moment, bro. Huh? Prisoner of the moment.
Yeah, bro. I forgot about Octavio. I'm jacking. He's the best player in Division III. I mean, he could do everything on the court. He's averaging over 22, almost 23 points per game on all tough shots. I mean, the matchups he's getting, he's probably getting face guarded all game and still averaging 23 on efficient numbers. But it was like a fire conversation, bro. We was laughing, joking, talking about mad shit outside of basketball too. So just talk about this episode, bro.
Great, great, great episode, man. We've been planning on talking to him for a minute. So definitely appreciate his willingness just to get on the pod, bro. It was a great conversation, like you said, talking about any and everything from growing up in Rhode Island, recruitment, his Keene State career, transfer portal, playing overseas, playing in park tournaments in the hood, like all that stuff we talked about. So great convo. He's great energy. And you're right. I mean, he is a dog, bro. He's averaging, you know, 23 on 50% shooting, 38% shooting from three, but we'll bump it up to 40 for my guys. So 40% shooting from three. And 83% from the line. So just overall super efficient, bro. Definitely a pro. Definitely gonna be playing basketball for a long time. And just in terms of the best Division III player, I don't know if I could say anyone is outright. But definitely Brito has to be in that conversation when you think about top D3 players in this very moment. But great conversation with bro, and I'm excited for the viewers, like I always say, to get to know him.
Yeah. One quick thing about Octavio. I don't think that people like recognize how challenging his college career has been, just like dealing with different coaches. He kind of underplayed it like in the episode that he's just going to be him, which definitely could be true. But when you got to deal with three different coaches, different philosophies, different way of going about things and be able to adjust, he's about to be a three-time All-American with three different coaches. Like, people don't do that. So I mean, I got mad respect for bro. He's a good hooper, and he gonna let you know when he's busting your ass too, which is also something I respect about him. But last thing for Octavio, yo, you gonna get me tight if you don't play We Are D3 TBT. You have to play We Are D3. And also, Ruda, I don't know if you want to give your predictions, but Ty and Octavio said they locked for one-on-one. Who you got?
Shit, man. I got to go with Ty, low-key, bro. He's the vet, bro. I got to go with the vet, bro. He's professional scorer, getting paid to do it.
I'm jacking Ty as well. Octavio is a dog for sure. Don't get me wrong, but I got Ty. But if you play, we are D3 because we could definitely set that up.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta text Reg and let him know, like, yo, you got to get him on the team. And Brito, obviously, got to, you know, want to play too. But regardless, let's definitely get bro on the We Are D3 team. But another thing too that I don't want people to overlook when they think about Octavio Brito is just the fact that he stayed at Keene for 4 years, bro. Like, he could have went to a Division I school, probably like any lower mid-major that you want to think of. Like, he probably could have went there and played, potentially started for most. But he stayed at Keene State because he wanted to leave a legacy there. He loves Keene. He loves the community that he's built there. So, like, I respect him a lot as a person, as a college basketball player, just for doing that, bro, especially in the era of, you know, people trying to chase the bigger bag or the bigger school. Octavio stayed down and, you know, still putting in that D3 grind. So I definitely respect him a lot for that. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, 100%. And before we end this little intro, make sure you stay for the Empire 8 segment and the We Only in D3 segment. Definitely going to be good stories back there. So stay for the full episode. Like and subscribe this episode. Subscribe to the channel. Go follow us at Not Even D2. And let's hear from our guy, Octavio Brito. All right, we are here with that boy, Octavio Brito. How you doing today, my guy?
Man, I'm chilling, man. Another snow day up in Keene, relaxing.
Feel you, bro. It's snowing crazy in upstate New York right now. I can't take it anymore, bro.
Nah, what happened, bro? I got to move down south, man. I'm done with the snow.
No, thanks. I want to talk about this past weekend. Obviously, you guys took your first conference loss against WestCon. We was having a little bit of chatter before we started recording, but just walk the viewers a little bit because it was an intense game. You was telling us a little bit how it went. So just talk about last night's game and takeaways from, you know, your first loss.
Yeah, it was a big game. You know, it was their senior night. You know, we knew they were going to come out with a lot of energy, and that's what they did. We went down 18. We stormed all the way back, and then a tough call. We ended up losing the game by one, but, you know, we just didn't come ready to play, you know. We know what we did. If we see him again in the chip, you know, it's up. Feel me? So, yeah, tough one last night, but we bounced back.
How do you feel, like, going into, like, conference playoff time now? Like, you kind of got – we said it before the episode, like, you got that loss, like, out of the way. So, how you feeling now?
I think it just made us hungry again, you know. I'll say our egos dropped. I feel like, you know – you've been at the top for so long, you feel like you're not as hungry no more. So you become the hunter instead of the hunter. And we just got to have that mindset, like, nobody can mess with us.
Nah, yeah. I mean, that's definitely the mindset in the LEC. Like, every team is probably like, we got Keene State. It's time to not make history, obviously. That's crazy. But, like, it's time to, you know, change our season, turn it around, or, you know, statement game, all that. So that's definitely got to be our mindset. Real quick, I want to skip ahead just because it's on my mind right now. So there was, like, a lot of talk this offseason about I remember we were recording an episode with Ty, and he was saying, I don't know if Octavio's going to stay in Keene or if he's going to try to transfer D1. So I want you to talk about, like, was that part of your thought process this offseason and, like, ultimately why you came back to Keene if that was an option?
Yeah, so, yeah, I hopped in the portal after the last game last year just to see, you know, who was going to reach out. You know, I took some visits. I like a couple of the schools, but I ultimately decided to stay because of, like, a legacy type of thing. Like, I already did 3 years here. I had a chance to be three-time All-American, all-time leading scorer, you know. And it was really – I was playing with other All-American the past 3 years, Jeff. You know, this year is really my team. And I just couldn't leave my guys at the end of the day, you know, been through so much, wanted to finish it out here.
That's what's up, Brody. I was going to ask, like, you're on the cusp of being, or maybe you already passed it, of being top three in Keene State scoring, like, all time. Mm-hmm. And do you have a chance to break, like, the all time scoring record this year?
Yeah, I'm number two right now. I think I need, like, just a little bit under 200 points.
I know Ty's sick.
Yeah, you know, I'd be hitting him up. I'd be telling him I'm gonna break it. You know, that's my guy for him. We'd be hitting up in the summer. We was at a couple tournaments. Talked to him, good to learn some things from him because he's doing what I want to do, which is play pro ball. You know, he's killing it out there right now. So, you know, definitely a mentor, I'll say, you know, and hopefully I get to play with him one day.
But how does that feel though to be on the cusp with history though? Like, you actually are leaving a legacy at that school.
It's awesome because I came in with the mindset of freshman year, 2021, like, yeah, I'm going to be the best to ever do it. And now to actually have the chance, it's crazy, you know, all the work I did, all the hours, long nights, early mornings, it's paying off.
I mean, I definitely respect you, like, staying there all 4 years, too, because you had three different coaches during your time there. Like, you had Coach Kane, Coach Hastings, and now Coach Enright. So it's definitely been a ride with, like, a bunch of different coaches. Do you like how – like, how has the adjustment been with Coach Enright for your last year?
It's been going good so far. He just lets me be me, you know. He thinks sometimes I'm too hard on the guys, which I understand, but it's just competitive. Like, I want to be the best. I want to be the best team. So I think he does a great job controlling everybody's emotions. Like, you know, we're all trying to win, high stakes. You know, we got guys coming from all over to play in New Hampshire, far from home. So everybody's sacrificing something to be here. So, you know, he just keeps us in check, keeps us humble.
Word. I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, your college career dealing with these different coaches, because it seems like they all have like a different style on how they coach. Like Coach Kane might be yelling up and down the court, and then Coach Hasten's like some chill guy. I'm not too familiar with Coach Enright, but just what has your mindset been like, you know, dealing with all this turmoil of, you know, you have a successful year, win the LEC, you're All-American, and then the next year you deal with a coaching change, and then same thing the following year. So just talk to me about your mindset through all this, you know, crazy times.
You know, I think just controlling what I can control, you know, just being in the gym, like making shots, being the best teammate, like stuff like that. I think that's ultimately what I did, you know. Whatever coach I had, I just kept being me. I feel like it didn't really change how I played or how I carried myself at all. So, you know, I didn't pay too much attention to it. After the first one went, like after Kane left and then Hastings left, I was like, I'm used to this. I don't really care. I'm just going to go hoop my last year, get that pro contract.
For sure. And I mean, working towards that, you guys, I feel like when I see you guys play in the summer, like I always see the Keene State guys like in outdoor tournaments, like y'all always doing that type of stuff. And I wanted to like find out like, How did this start? Who organizes it? Like, I want to know about all that.
Well, I think the first time we did it was after my sophomore year, I think. It was in Lawrence. And really, it was just one of the guys out there. He's close. What's his name? I forgot bro's name. But he just put us in a league. He was like, yo, y'all want to play? And then we all pulled up. It was just like, yo, pull up. So, like, I'm driving to Jeff's house. Then he's driving to Lawrence because, like, Lawrence is fake deep from Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we did everything, got there, and then just being in that atmosphere, you know, it's lit. You feel me? Got the drinks, got the shawties outside, good time. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then just hooping like an outdoor environment. You feel me? You're like, yeah, Rucker Park, like that. I really feel like, yeah, Rucker Park,
bro. I seen y'all play at Chico's, bro. Like those games get crazy. I'm not gonna lie, like,
packed. You know, I was bragging right there in the hood, like, there's so much shit talking. I'm not even from there, but like I'm talking crazy. I'm sorry. I'm going with the bro on the court. I'm like, you're not doing nothing against me. Like,
nah, you're giving me Jordan Poole vibes right now. You're talking about the shawties.
Nah, chill.
You got any like favorite memory from, you know, those summer runs or anything like that? So a crazy story that happened, anything?
A crazy story. I mean, we had some pretty good games, I'd say, you know, coming down to the wire. I feel like y'all know Nate, obviously. Nate, I feel like that's really where he thrives in those type of environments. I just remember him going back and forth with some kid named Bull, and, like, that matchup was just crazy. Like, two fast-ass kids going at it, just dog-eat-dog. That's probably my best memory from it. And then, obviously, just the memories you created, like, throwing lobs to each other. Like, it's all second nature when we play together. I feel like I don't take those moments for granted playing with those guys.
I mean, that, like, playing over the summer like that probably builds the chemistry going into the season, too.
It's crazy. OD, like, y'all know Zoe, right?
Yeah, I think so. Last name Lynn, right?
Yeah, last name Lynn, yeah. So, right, like, he my sophomore year, he practiced with us, but he didn't play. So the next year, what's it called? Like, we put the five, basically the starting five for last year. We played in all the summer tournaments together. So building chemistry in him was a big jump. And that's why we had a successful season coming up.
Word. So you're from Rhode Island, and like I'm from New York, and obviously New York's history of like street ball and stuff like that, the bump in New York is known, but I feel like nobody really knows what hoops like in Rhode Island. So Definitely. Let's talk about like that, because you were saying you'd be talking crazy and stuff. So where'd you get that from? What's the bump like in Rhode Island? Just talk about that.
I mean, I feel like it's like any other place. You know, we're the smallest state. A lot of people don't know what Rhode Island is. But, you know, it's just that, I mean, that dog that people have. You know how New York people say they have dogs or Texas dog? I feel like Rhode Island's the same thing. We just don't get the credit for it. And I feel like being the smallest state, you know, you got to have the biggest chip on your shoulder, you feel me? They're going to try you every day, wherever you're at. So just about standing your ground.
I mean, I know there's definitely a lot of good hoopers that come out of Rhode Island. I know one like Enoch, he's playing at Dayton right now.
He's killing right now.
That's what I'm saying. So there's definitely a lot of good hoopers coming from that state. And, you know, we were wondering, we talked to Coach Hastings about this too, just like how your recruitment kind of came about, because like your freshman year, you jumped onto the scene. So like, I'll ask him, I was like, yo, bro, how'd you find this kid? What did it look like? So what did recruitment look like for you, bro? Just talk about all that stuff and what schools are on you heavy.
Mine was different because mine was during COVID. So I visited Keene, but like no one was on campus, obviously. It was dead cold, middle of winter. It was either here or Rick at the time. I wanted to go to prep school, but my mom wasn't jacking it. She was like, staying back. She didn't understand about like staying back, reclassing. She didn't understand none of that. So she's like, you're going to college. And it was either Keene or Rick. Those are the only two schools I visited besides prep schools. So I was like, if I stay home, I don't think I'm going to be the best version of myself, too comfy. I'm with the guy. So I took a chance on Keene and turned out to be the best decision I made in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I respect that. We're definitely going to talk about Keene State hoops and your career more. But I want to talk specifically about, like, you and Jeff, how that relationship kind of started, when you started to realize that, yo, like, we might be the best duo, like, in the country, stuff like that. So just talk about, you know, Jeff Hunter and playing with him the last 4 years.
At first, I didn't even like Jeff. I ain't gonna lie. My freshman year, I'm trying to get into this party. He's at the door, and he says, yo, do 20 push-ups, and I'll let y'all in. I'm looking at him crazy, like, fool, I am not doing 20 push-ups into this party. Like, I don't know who you think you are. So at first, I was like, he was the best player coming in, so I went at him immediately. Like, I let him know, like, I'm here. And then after that, you know, I gained the respect, I think, and then we just came boys, you know, working out together, talking about stuff we want to do for our future and the future of the team, being the team captains, like what we could do to lead the team the best way. He was really good. He was an X's and O's type of guy. I was more like the just yell at you, like the effort type of guy. But we were a great duo, you know. I wish he had one more year. If he came back this year, that national championship was a lock. It's still a lot, you know. We still got that bad motherfucker number 3. So you know what I'm saying?
That's a bad motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie.
Feel me? But you know, he was a great teammate, even a better person. You know, just always helping out guys, community wise. He was always ordering food for freshmen, shit like that. So just a great person in general.
Nah, Jeff is definitely a great person, bro. Like, left an impact on me after a week of meeting him, bro. Just like his discipline and stuff like that.
Yeah, he taught me a lot about discipline. Like, I remember he used to have the board in his room. Like, it was like 100 Sundays straight at the gym. I was like, oh, fool is locked. Like, he's locked in. And then he even got me into reading books, and I really hate reading. And I was like, this summer I tried it. I was like, yeah, it's not as bad, but I'd rather just listen to it.
So you wait, you into some what books you into right now, bro? Or over the summer?
He was capping, bro. He was
over the summer. Nah, I was reading that David Goggins shit, that mindset shit.
Yeah,
it was that, and that was the only one I read for real. And then I was trying to learn Spanish too on Duolingo.
Heard you, my boy. You gotta get ready for them. You gotta get ready for that overseas trip, bro.
You know what I'm saying? I gotta expand my inventory. You know what I'm saying?
OD. But I want to switch the convo a little bit, talk about some Keene State hoops. And y'all been really tearing the LEC up, 3 straight conference championships, going for a 4-peat right now. Definitely the favorite going into the playoffs. So I just wanted you to talk about, like, Keene State's dominance, what separated you guys so far, and then overall your opinions on the LEC, because – I'm not going to lie, like, people would be saying the LEC fake whack, so just talk about that.
You know, I think what separates us is just our culture and consistency, you know, what we allow. Like, if you come in 5 minutes before practice is walking in, like, people know you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to get there 15 minutes early at least. Like, if you're 15 minutes early, that's the latest you could be. So, you know, and stuff like that, taking care of the classroom, you know, you can't play if your grades aren't right. And then how you carry yourself throughout campus, like, you can't be getting into no dumb shit, getting in trouble in the dorms, whatever it is, drinking, smoking. Like people are going to be watching you, bro, because, like, bro, we stand out, obviously. We don't look like Keene people. So, you know, all eyes are on us. So, you know, just really becoming a professional and a man, real, like, real shit is how you carry yourself. I think that's what separates us. LEC, I feel like anybody could be anybody every given day. If you don't come ready to play, like, that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know. People about the LEC is whack. Yeah, but they don't want to play us. And if they do play us, you know what usually happens. So
okay.
I'm gonna let my game do the talking, but
that's tough. Really, I mean, I mean, you guys play each other twice in LEC?
Yeah.
So I mean, that alone, like you get that familiarity, you know what I'm saying? You see,
and like human nature, like say you beat a team by 30 the first time, you're not really going into the game on that. And that's exactly what happened to us yesterday. When we played WestCon at home, we beat them by like 45 or something like that. Mm-hmm. We go down there, lose by one. So, you know.
Nah, and on the flip side, like when you get beat by 40, it's like, yo, I'm not going out like that again.
So, tell me, like, if they're going to play harder, and I respect it because I would too. Like, they're not going to do me like that again.
Yeah, I would. I was, when we were like first developing the questions, I was wondering this, like, you guys hosted a tournament in back-to-back years. I think it was your freshman and sophomore year.
No, sophomore junior year.
Yeah. So how was that, like, being able to host the first two weekends of the tournament, or the first two rounds, I'd say, of the tournament? Like, playing at the crib, like...
That was lit. I'm not going to lie. Every seat was filled. They was cheering. Those games were crazy. I'm not going to lie. Because my freshman year, I didn't even know there was an NCAA tournament for Division III. Like, I thought after we beat Dartmouth, I thought the season was over. I was like, word, like, we won the champ. Like, yeah, off season. They talk about national tournament. We got another weekend, and we go down to Swarthmore, and we upset them, which mm-hmm. was crazy. It was like, I don't know what, they probably 15th in the country at the time, and they were the host. And then we get smacked the next day. But still, like, that experience alone was lit. So, you know, definitely hosting it meant a lot, especially back-to-back years. I think we just owe it to the community. You know, they support us game in, game out. And, they make it – feel like you're in Madison Square Garden when it's packed. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's what you dream of as a kid.
Yeah. Nah, no funny. When you're playing in a big crowd and you hooping and shit.
Yeah,
it's no
funny. The crowd, like, yeah, it's too active in there.
But this is going to be the last question before we take a quick break. But so, like, you talk about big crowds, and I'm not going to lie, like, you be putting on a show sometimes, whether it's punching on someone, making a crafty move, hitting a tough shot. So, like, what does your mindset be going into big games or, you know, national tournament games, stuff like that? Like, you just getting the win, or you, like, I'm about to put on a show. Talk to me about your preparation.
Yeah, it's really just, like, my habits, what I do in practice, like, day in and day out. That's what carries us through those big moments. Like, you know, what you do every day is what you're going to do in the game. So I feel like that's what carries me through it. I feel like as a team, we're just disciplined. Most of the time we're disciplined and we got good habits. So, you know, I feel like that's what makes us ready for those moments. You know, we do nothing different. It's just another game.
Nah, I feel that. Bro, trying to be humble. You was talking about they got that motherfucking three still. And now you're talking about, oh, we just stay consistent as a team.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is on the court. On the court, you're a different person on the court.
He gets mad out there, bro.
But stay with us while I take a quick break.
All right, we back. Not even D2 pod with Tavio Brito. So when we was first doing research for the episode, bro, and I even knew this too, like before we started talking to you, I peeped that you did like a video with D Friga, Devontae Friga, mm-hmm. on YouTube, and you guys played one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And it was improv, and like you had like some, like, there's people on the side, probably betting on the side, you know what I'm saying, talking crap. And it was a dope video, like two D3 hoopers just going at each other, talking and just hooping. So I want to hear, like, basically how that came about, your memories of that summer, and just, you know, talk about all that, bro.
I mean, yeah, so the guy who set it up was Will Levinson. He played at URI. We played. I won the first game, then lost the next two. But it was definitely a good atmosphere, playing in front of the whole city. That was lit, you know. If you call me in season, I would have been. I was out of shape. I was on summer shit. And I think I was 19 when I played him. Yeah, I think I was 19 years old. So, Wes is right here. Yo, Wes, come say what's up.
Yes, sir. What's good, boy?
We're going to say what's up. I'm doing an interview right now.
Word.
What's up? That was lit. Played that atmosphere. I'm still tired of loss. I'm not gonna lie, I was heated. That made me grind even more though. Little humble moment. But yeah, great learning experience. And I'm ready for my rematch. I ain't gonna lie.
Nah, you still need to be connected with him.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he just played he just played Nas too.
Nah, I didn't see that.
Nas gave him the belt. Give him the belt 30-7. I was like,
that's tough.
Look at that. That's tough.
Yo, Ruda, I think he was about to ask this, but I cut him off. Are you still connected with bro or nah?
Nah. He follows me on the gram, but that's it. I haven't heard him or anything.
Yo, another ones matchup I probably definitely look forward to see. You ever played Ty one on or nah?
Say it again, who?
Ty.
Ty who?
Nichols.
Oh, no, I haven't played him. But
that's a good one matchup.
He knows I'm too big and strong. He can't do nothing with me. He don't play defense. He's too small. I told him he's too small.
But Ty could score, bro.
Bro, he could. Bro, one-on-one, three dribbles. I'm faster. I think I'm faster, stronger, taller. The only way he beats me, he got to make tough-ass shots again and again and again.
But that's his game, bro.
But think about it. He got to guard me too, though.
No, that's a fact.
He got to guard me too. I just give him a bump euro leg. Ty said himself, he don't lift weights.
He did say that.
So I lift weights. I'm gonna show you why you need lift weights.
Yo, this summer league gotta be there for that, bro. I'm setting it up.
Run it.
But yo, Ty's my man, so I'm not just gonna let you talk crazy on air about bro. So
no, I said it to him. Like, this is not me trying to stunt. I said this stuff directly to him.
Alright, that's fair. That's fair. I'm gonna switch topics a little bit. So, like, just looking at your film, you could score it at all three levels. Like, at the rim, you're very efficient. And, like, you got a little post series where you could score tough jumpers. You taking tough fadeaways, all that. And then from three, obviously, you can light it up. So, like, one, I want to hear what the off-season work is like for you. Like, if you could walk us through a workout or tell me who you'd be training with. And then also, like what have you seen in your game, like, over the years? What do you think you've improved the most on since your time at Keene?
Honestly, I think I just got more athletic and just faster, bigger, stronger. Like, it was funny because the other day we was looking at my senior high school highlights. Me and all the guys, we were just chilling, watching YouTube, whatever. And, like, I'm really doing the same moves, but I was just slower and fatter. You know, especially senior COVID, I was in the crib. I mean, dominoes every day. Like, dude. Bro, I had a crazy gut. My jersey was too tight. I looked crazy. But now my workout, like last summer, I was working 5 days a week, and then I had a trainer, my guy C1K. He helps me with the physical, the weights and stuff, my athleticism. And then at night, I just go to the Y with my cousin because the Y closes at 1 a.m. So
that's tough.
I'm just playing ones against my cousin the whole summer. He's trying to get better too. He don't even hoop for real, but like he loves hooping, loves basketball. He's actually decent. Like, I could get better playing against him. He's strong. Yeah. So I just did that day in and day out, really, for 3 months, just locked in, really. And now I'm loving the results.
I definitely think, like, it's underrated in how much better it can get you. It might be the best way to get better because even if the defender's not nice, it's just like I'm working on moves and getting live reps. Like, Mitch be talking about that too. Like, you just need it to be live instead of, like, programs. But I can definitely see that. But to switch topics again, so you recently scored your 2K, one of three players in Keene State history with Ty and Jeff. But the video that they posted, it was tough. It was like from your first basket and like skipping ahead to some of your top plays. It was tough, but it looked like in the locker room the guys was lit for you. You was lit. So just talk about like that moment and maybe give me like top three favorite buckets from your 2K.
Ooh, top three favorite buckets.
You could think about that. We might have to push that back later, but just talk about the emotions getting 2K and the locker room vibe, stuff like that.
Well, that was definitely a movie, you know. I'm just telling you, it wasn't at home. It was at Castleton, but, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, that was a great moment. It's just another example of all the work is paying off. I told myself I was going to get that scoring record when I first came in, and then now getting closer and closer, that was just another milestone onto the big achievement. You know, my teammates, they were lit. I couldn't do it without them. You know, every single one of them, it's a team game. They find me in the right positions. They give me the ball where I need it. And then, obviously, they sacrifice so much for themselves. You know, talking about two All-Americans. All you hear is the two All-Americans, and now it's just me. But, like, those role players we got Mace, Spence, Nate. Like, those are some dogs. Like, if they go to any other team in the conference, they're all conference players, you know. You know, I just want to shout out them. You know, we couldn't do it without them.
I mean, it must feel good too, because like for your senior day this year, I mean, you guys had Spence, you had Nate, or yeah, you had Nate. Mm-hmm. Who else is a senior this year? Mason, like, and then so all you guys is basically, and Spencer Merkin too. He was
senior. Guy, for real. That's your roommate.
Mm-hmm. So all you guys is graduating together this year. So it must have felt nice to like, you know, get that accomplishment with them too.
Nah, yeah, it felt crazy. When they was reading the stats combined, we're like, we got like 4,000 points combined, 1,000 assists combined, 1,000 rebounds combined. Like, it's just crazy.
And a whole lot of wins too, Brody. Whole lot of wins too.
Man, I think we're the best class of Keene State history. I don't think it's close.
Oh, Ali.
I don't think it's close. I don't know any class like that. That's a crazy class.
I mean, three back-to-back LEC tournament chips speaks for itself, I think, Brody. So. Yeah. But, yeah, so this has been a great episode, my guy. It's been great talking to you again, to know you, bro. So we're going to end it on this. Obviously, you said you made your mark on Keene State and you had a great career there. It's not finished yet. You got a whole lot of time left, bro. But just talk about what's next for you, bro. What do you got planned for this summer? You know, I want to hear what's in the cards for Octavio Brito.
Man, you know, we're going to be on that grind 5 days a week. But, you know, hopefully get this contract, play overseas. Going to play with the in the TBT tournament. And I might go to Cape Verde, play for the national team because I'm Cape Verdean. So got some stuff hooking up, you know. Definitely going to be playing basketball, though. That's for sure.
Respect, bro. We are the 3 TBT team?
We'll see. Mm-hmm. I don't know what team. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Might need to talk to Reg, Ruda.
I might need to call Reg real quick, bro. Yo, you got to get this guy, bro.
No cap. But – definitely good luck the rest of the year. But we're going to end this episode with a little rapid fire and starting five edition. So let us know you're ready for a rapid fire.
All right, let's go.
All right, first rapid fire question. Top three Rhode Island hoopers that you've ever, like, played against or played with?
Number one is Tyler Kolick. Mm. I'll go two, Ricky Lito. Three. I never played with him, but I will go David Duke. I never played with him. No, I just say off of just seeing it, I'll go David Duke.
I mean, who was the second guy? Did he make it to the A or not? I never heard of him.
Ricky Lito, yeah. He was on the Knicks, and then he was on the Mavs. Now I forgot where he's playing now. It might be Turkey or China he's playing in.
Yeah. My boy Tyler Kolick playing for my Knicks, though. He's they gotta get some more PT soon.
No cap. You can't tell me you can't get 10 minutes off the bench.
That's what I'm saying. They need to play him more, bro. They need it.
Oh, you know Tibbs not jacking that, bro.
I know, that's weird. Like, bro, you could rest Brunson for a little bit and then you could get him in the playoffs, play him the whole 48 if you want to during the playoffs.
Yep. I agree, bro. I agree. They need a little depth at the backcourt too. I don't know if I could keep watching Campaign play instead of him, bro, honestly. Yo, but.
Real rap, bro. Campaign better than TK? Come on, bro.
Next rapid-fire question. I want to hear, like, your favorite matchup in the LEC. Like, anytime you go against them, you're like, all right, it's going to be a battle. Or maybe even player, too. Like, if there's a player in the LEC that you always like playing against.
Player was Cody Haas from Southern Maine. I was going at it with him every single time. He graduated now. We're cool now, but like, when we played, it was static. A team, Rick. I love playing against Rick, hometown. I know all the guys. Those are all my guys for real. So that's another team I love playing against. I'm on 1,000 every time we play them. We play them next Saturday, too. It's really up. My freshman year, WestCon had a kid. His last name was Robinson. I forgot his first name, but he was good. He plays in Slovakia or something like that right now. He was tough. I like playing against him. Battle. That's tough.
And then last rapid fire question. Actually, I got two more. The first one would be funniest teammate that you've ever, like, from your – you got to pick one from each year from your time at Keene. Oh. And then songs you listen to right now. I'm kind of interested in that too.
All right. For teammate, my freshman year – I'm gonna go Big James my freshman year. My sophomore year, I'm gonna go LJ Hicks. We used to call him Freak Freak. Yo, that kid was too funny, bro. It was too funny. My junior year. Damn, who was the funniest last year? I'm gonna go my boy GB. GB. Yeah. GB or Zoe. Because when they used to go out, because we used to live together, it used to be me, GB, Zoe, and MJ last year. Bro, that apartment was crazy. Oh, they was fighting all day. I'm just sitting there laughing. I got the reclining chair. I'm in my reclining chair like an old head, just in my chilling, just laughing. Jokes. And then this year, bro, my boy Steve, he's top troll. He's really top, like, every day, bro. He's always trolling nonstop. And for music, I listen to Rilo, Lil Baby, and who else I've been listening to? Rilo, Lil Baby, Gunna's Eye. I've been trying to get to Gunna, people, because I'm a Lil Baby diehard fan, so, you know, Baby wasn't rocking with Gunna. I wasn't rocking with him either, so I'm saying.
I feel you, bro.
Really,
I don't
just,
know.
I'll probably be my top two, though.
Word. I usually don't jump in on the rapid fire, but I got one for you. Uh-huh. And I'm going to go back to the question I asked earlier. Top three favorite buckets from your career at Keene.
One would have been yesterday. I ain't going to lie. I had to set it up tween. Then I went to the left, bump, half spin, fade away on the sideline. So it was tough. I kept rewatching that. I caught a putback body Wednesday on some Blake Griffin shit. That was OD. I ain't gonna lie.
Wait, was it with the left or?
Nah. It was two hands.
On the other day.
Yeah, I jumped over the kid. Like, he thought he'd get the rebound. He said, "Oh, bow!" I still got the tech and all that. I'll take that tech. And then. What's another one?
Bro, so two out of three of them already from this past week?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm going to go with a heat check. My sophomore year in the tournament, I dropped like 35. And I just – Hezzy pulled that from deep, like 5 feet behind the line. I just remember going crazy in the crowd.
What's that? Hey, it was Kane coaching then?
It was Kane.
Kane, he probably was tight. Like, yo.
He was tight. He was like, bet. Good shot. He was one of those. He was like, what the? He was like, yeah, shut your ass up.
All right, we got to move to the starting five edition. So, if you're a coach, assembling a lineup, point guard through center, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best players that you played with. So, it could be all the way from, like, high school all the way to now. You got to build a lineup. And you can include yourself. Just tell me where you play with them and their position.
This includes, like, people back home, like, not just college?
Yeah.
My lineup, I'm going to have to go with my boy, Nia at the one. Damn, hold on. This is tough. I don't want to leave everybody out, but there's only five spots.
Now you got him.
Are we playing a college game? Or are we? What's it called?
Bro, there's no criteria. Just your lineup. You the coach.
I'm gonna have to go with Nate. And then I'm gonna go with my boy Keith Wilson at the two. Nah, hold on. I'm gonna have to go with my boy Keith at the one. My fault. Keith at the one. Mace at the two. I'm at the three. I'm gonna go with Jericho Zoe. I'm gonna have to go with my boy J1.
Heard you.
J1. And then I'm gonna have to go Jeff at the five.
Yeah. That's a tough lineup though. I ain't gonna lie.
No, hold on. I lied. I'm scratched out five. I'm going big. J1 is at my one.
J1 went from the four to the one?
Yeah, he's really a big guard. He just had to play the three because we had Nate.
Okay. So he the one.
He the one. Then I'm gonna go my boy Keith at the two, me at the three, my cousin X at the four. He plays at Rick right now. And Jeff at the five.
So you switched it up, but that lineup tough too.
Yeah, we got a bigger lineup, feel me?
I respect it. But that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. Definitely appreciate you getting on after game day. And good luck the rest of the year, my boy.
Thank you for having me. Good looking.
All right. On this part of the E8 segment where we talk with a player of the week or rookie of the week, we spoke with the Brockport guard, Peyton Maneri. Maneri. I suck at saying last names, but the Empire Rookie of the Week. She averaged 5.5 steals this week, which was just crazy. We talked about it in the episode, but definitely hear from her what her mindset is. Her first year going into playoffs, they're the one seed, about to play Nazareth. So definitely listen for that and meet us over in Only in D3. We are here with this week's Empire Rookie of the Week, Peyton Maneri. Had a really good week, which we're going to talk about. I kind of wanted to start just so you are a freshman, obviously, Rookie of the Week, and you basically locked up the EA Rookie of the Week this year, Rookie of the Year you locked up. So just talk about what your mindset was like coming into this year, what the preparation was like, and maybe some off-season work. Give us some insight into that.
There was a lot of excitement coming in because I always wanted to play at a higher level, compete with like higher competition. I think off season was like a lot with my trainer. I was always in the gym, and then coming here, there were like I met a lot of new like players, and it was like just excitement with them, wanting to play with them, and just competing.
Nah, I feel that.
What's been your just outlook on college basketball? The differences from high school basketball. Just talk about that insight.
The pace is definitely faster, so that like took some adjusting. Like there wasn't like time to settle. Like, mm-hmm. That was a huge thing. But
yeah, I mean, also Brockport began out and running, bro. I don't know if you've seen them play, but they began it out and going.
They was running Utica up and down the court, bro. I'm already known.
Kind of to shift the convo a little bit. So this past week, you averaged 5.5 steals, which is crazy. You had 7 steals against Geneseo. I didn't watch the game, but I know that Geneseo, their point guard is really tough. She averages like a lot of assists. So that 7 steals against Geneseo is impressive. But I'm kind of interested. Like, I don't think we talk about this on the pod much. What are you looking at like on the ball or off the ball as a defender, and how have you been able to rack up so many steals throughout the year?
We play a very like on ball pressure defense. Like we're constantly moving and talking, and that like allows us to get tips and steals, and which leads to most of our points because we're just so active.
I mean, when you're putting the offense on their heels and just always attacking them, that's, you know, you're going to get transition points. You're going to create more turnovers. So that's always a recipe for success for sure. And I'm just curious. I mean, we have playoffs, you know, you have a game tomorrow, and I'm just kind of wondering, like, what should we expect from Brockport for the rest of the season? Like, how you guys feeling?
It's the same thing we've been doing. We're not going to change much. Like, we're doing great, so we shouldn't change anything we've been doing. I think we know that we have more to give this season, so we're just going to give it our best and just keep going.
Yeah, I respect it. Well, congrats on winning your 5th Rookie of the Week. Like I said, probably locked up the E8 Rookie of the Year. So congrats on a good season and good luck tomorrow. But this will be released after, but good luck in general.
Thank you.
Are we going to end this episode with our Only in D3 segment, where Rude and I tell you what it's like to be a Division III student athlete?
All right, my Only in D3 story. Again, I love the Empire 8. Love everybody associated with the Empire 8, but our home students should not be paying to get into a playoff game that is super. I know the championship last year was free for students, so I think they should try to figure out how to kind of get that back. I think, you know, I kind of understand, you know, maybe the first two rounds charging it because there's 3 games now in the E8, so I guess they have to make like some sort of profit. But for at least for the students that have a student ID, you know, let them, bro. We need like, bro, we're college students, bro. Like, you know what I mean? I know, you know, $4, $5, it may not seem like a lot, and it's really not a lot, but bro, honestly, like I would much rather go to a game for free than pay for it, regardless of the price. So they, you know, I feel like EA, man, y'all gotta do something about that. So that's my Only in D3, not story, but quarrel, my quarrel with Empire 8.
Nah, yeah, that is pretty crazy. If students definitely, because bro, that's just gonna make that's gonna make y'all go into the tournament, and then it's like that's when the EA, like, it's all spiral. But mm-hmm. I mean, I guess every team could say that, so maybe that's not a good point. I'm gonna move over to my Only in D3. I don't really have one besides again, I spoke about it in a prior episode, but Poly's gym, bro, that should just that should just not be a thing, bro. Like I said it earlier in the episode, I've never seen a free throw miss like that, and I'm forever gonna be jacking that. Like that was really the worst miss I ever seen in my life. But next year, Poly better have a better gym because that was fake crazy what we was playing in. But that's our segment of Only in D3. If you like this episode, definitely subscribe, follow us, stay up to date with Not Even D2. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.